الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب الله العالمين أبو القاسم محمد
where he is coming from. So a lot of things can be changed,
If you come from another environment, somewhere else, so these are the two backgrounds which we had in our mind, in our head of the mind, we say. And then you look at Australia, and now you are here with your maybe immigration, I don't know, citizenship or somehow. How much time you want to spend here? This is the third cross section which you have to live. So you have your religion, it has its own culture, ideas, ethnic, its morals, and then you have your ethnic group. And the third one is the country which you are trying to now live in. So you are on a crossroad. You have three things. And somehow, each of them somehow collide with each other. Your religion demands you something, and your ethnic group somehow demands you maybe something else. And then, the country which you are getting to citizenship or living here, it demands you something else sometimes. So, what you are going to defend? And if they have not decided this, then what will happen? Easily I can say, after a few years, maybe a few years, or maybe a generation, you will lose your identity. And you might become something which you are not intending to become. I don't mind it if someone says that, okay, it's okay for me. It's okay for me. I want to be dissolved in this society. So if you want to be dissolved in this society, it's okay. It's up to you. You want to do this thing this way, it's up to you. You can do this. But if you don't want to do this, then make a decision. Just to be clear what you are learning and how you can defend them. So this is an important question, I think. And this is what I'm going to somehow discuss here. I don't know what age group will be more appropriate for this discussion, but I do think that everyone who is teenage will get some benefit from this discussion. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil fajr. Now, first we mentioned popular opinions. Popular opinions in this question, what we are going to defend and what we are going to lose. First, I think there should be sometimes in the back, a few years back, but it was their initial experience in the new societies. They used to insist on their dress. They used to insist on their language. They did that for a few years, and then somehow they realized that we can't do this. Now, look at yourself. You came from different cultures, you came from different environments, but I think around 90% or 95% will be in the same position as far as dress, as far as language. Might be a person like me, after 40 years, coming here after 40 years, I might defend my dress, but my next generation, surely they will not defend. Surely they will lose their dress. For example, I'll keep my shalwar kameez because I came from Pakistan, I came from Karachi. I might keep my shalwar kameez. But what if my child will go to nursery, primary school? Will he defend that? Will he do it? Most probably, I think more than 95%, we will never do that. Or he will not do that. Because he will feel something strange in himself, beside others. So he will do what they are doing. So dress is not the thing which you can defend. Even if you want to do this, you can't do this. You will make it a celebrity, self-celebrity something. For example, you will choose to dress Shalwar Kameez on the day of Eid, on the day of celebration, on the day of somebody going to marry someone, then you will dress up. But in your normal life, you will lose it. So dress is not the thing which you could defend. It is not defendable. Then you come to language. Can you defend your language? And what is the purpose of defending your language? I think, as far as the chances, percentage, as far as the percentage, there are more chances that you could defend your language. Yes, it is possible. That you keep Urdu, or for example, Persian, or your original language in your home, and you say, okay, my child, you have to learn English because you have to get tuition in English. In the environment, and you see neighborhood and the school, but as far as home, I would like you to speak Urdu.
Universe,
that is like maybe Allah, maybe angels, maybe back after that, there are certain realities. And we can perceive these realities with our mind. We have this skill. And these are absolute realities. If you deny them, you can't change them. This is one type of philosophy, which is called realism. Realism. There is another type of philosophy which says there is no reality. You imagine something and you will create something. And even if there is a reality, you can't perceive that. You cannot understand that. So whatever you think is good will become good. Whatever your society says bad, it will become bad. There is no absolute values. There is no absolute ethics, morals, values. There is nothing. Just to perceive something and you say, for example, that you have rules in marriage, you have rules in your life, they will say, actually there is no rule. Because you don't believe in it, then it is happening. And if you don't believe in it, it will not happen. First part says that there are two realities. This is called realism. The other part is generally called skepticism. They are skeptics. And they say we can't perceive reality. I think first danger, first basic and most rooted attack which you will face is in this parameter. Is there absolute ethics? Can you say there are absolute ethics or you can't say? Now the thing which is not going on, which we can find in their literature, in their writings, in their philosophies, that there is no actual reality. Whatever you say good will become good, and whatever you reject it will become bad. First red line is this concept. This is your red line. Do you believe in absolute reality or you don't believe in it? Do you think absolute reality is perceivable or you don't believe in it? So if you say there is no absolute reality, or you can perceive it, I'm sure you have lost your way. I'm sure you have gone wrong. You will lose whatever you have in your mind. So first of all, you will lose the concept of God. Because you will say, I do believe in Allah, and the person who is sitting right in front of you will say that I'm a skeptic. I will say, there is no Allah. And if you are telling me that you believe in Allah, okay, it's your own matter. There is no God, because there is no actual reality. This is a philosophical question, and I don't think many of the participants here will have any problem in this sphere. But I tell you, this is the main problem. This is the point where they started their progress in denying Allah. So first of all, there is no reality. There is no ability in humanity to perceive the reality. So you just say Allah, okay, it's up to you. And I don't want to say Allah, except to me, there is nothing else. I don't know if this is upon this first part, and I will switch over to the second one. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beyond matter or don't believe in it.
They would hire this person. And because of the wind that this person has headed. But if you believe in reality beyond matter, just imagine you have two doors. You open this door, and the world beyond that door is different. And if you open this door, there is another door. Completely different story if you believe this or you believe that. Now, what's our red line? Our red line says that we believe in things and existence beyond matter. What we believe in, three types of realities, or three main realities we believe in beyond matter. If you talk about matter, and you say, that's all, matter is everything, and there is nothing beyond matter, you are in a different world. But if you say, no, I believe in things beyond matter, there are existences which are beyond matter, now you are in a different world. What type of world is this one, which in which you believe in things beyond matter? Three main objects, or three main topics which you have to discuss. First of all, if you don't believe in things beyond matter, you will say there is no God, there is no superior existence, there is no planned creation, there is no rule, and there is no destiny. Everything will end because you don't believe in any existence beyond matter. So you will lose starting, you will lose your destiny, and you will lose the rule through which you will spend your life. It's time to find where you came from, destiny, where are you heading to, and the karma, how should I spend my life. All of these parameters you will lose. Why you lose it? Because you say, I don't believe in things beyond matter. In the very easy term, we call it materialism. If you believe in materialism, and you say matter is the only existing thing, and there is nothing beyond matter, you are in a different world, where there is no Allah, where there is no life after death, and there is no spirituality in yourself. There is no spirit, there is no nafs, there is no ruh. You will lose three main realities: Allah, life after death, and spirit. But if you say no, there are things which are beyond matter. We can think of existences beyond matter. Then there is a question. Who is the originator? Where are you coming from? Where are you heading to? And how you should spend your life? These three realities, Allah, life after death, and spirit, will come into life. When you say that there are things and existences beyond matter. Now, you accept this or you reject this. A lot of difference will be created. Now, what's practically happening? If I ask anyone who is here, do you believe in Allah? Surely he will say yes. And if I ask anyone, do you believe in life after death? Surely he will say yes. And do you believe in ruh, spirit, nafs? You say yes. So why materialism? Why we are still matter? Why all of our achievements are counted only in our material life? This is another problem. So we have one question: realism or skepticism? The lot of difference will be created through this question. The second question: matter or beyond matter? If you say only matter, there is a different word. And if you say no, matter plus beyond matter, there is another word. And in this word, you have Allah, the ultimate, and soul. Then third person, are you practicing your beliefs? You say, you accept it that there are realities beyond matter, which is Allah, life after death, and our soul. Are you practicing them? What are you about practicing them? Do you involve these realities in your decisions? I'll just give you a simple example. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I'll give you my own example. For example, I'm here to say something. I have to spend a few days here and I have to do my job. And somehow I'm stuck here with an equation. If I do the right thing, which is good for my Allah, which is good for my spiritual judgment, life after death, which is good for my spirit, I will lose my world. I will lose my material benefits. And if I defend my material benefits, I will lose Allah, I will lose life after death, I will lose my spirit. What I should do? And what should my decision? Most probably, theoretically, you will say, because I believe in Allah, I believe in life after death, I believe in soul, I will defend these three realities, and everything will be okay. But unfortunately, what's happening? We believe in something, and we act something else. This is the third problem. This is the third reality. So, first problem was realism and skepticism. Second problem was materialism or beyond matter. You believe in matter or you believe in beyond matter. If you believe in beyond matter, you have three realities: Allah, life, death, and soul. And the third problem is, do you act according to your beliefs? Now, if someone wanted to define his own path, he wanted to what life I would like to follow. First, I would like you to discuss this issue with your own self. Do you believe in Allah? Do you believe in life after death? Do you believe in soul? The main question was materialism or spiritualism. If you could solve this question, everything will be changed. And if you could not solve this question, now you will make your red lines and you will defend your red lines, but these red lines will not give you any benefit. So, in summary, if someone comes to me and he don't have his own dress which he has in his ethnic group, he has lost his language, he has changed his name, and he has changed his lifestyle, everything has changed, and he is in front of me, and if someone asks me, has he crossed the red lines, I would say, these elements are not the final elements. These elements are not enough. So, he has lost his language, he has lost his dress, and he has lost his name, and apparently everything. But still, I will ask him a simple question. Do you believe in Allah? Do you believe in life after death? And do you believe in soul? And do you give your preferences to these three? If he is doing these three, working on these three, and he says, okay, I will prefer Allah against non-Allah. I will prefer life after death against this world. And I will prefer my soul against my body, then I will say he would have defended his red lines. He's on the right path. Though he has lost his dress, he has lost his language, and maybe he has lost his name. Because these are not very important as far as my ideology. Main thing is your ideology. And what are the signs? And what are the, you see, symbols or symptoms I can say that someone has lost his identity, someone has lost his concept of Allah, life after death, and you see the depression of life, these objectives. All these philosophical discussions will be summarized in his objectives. What are the objectives? So if you have objectives which are appropriate with the concept of Allah, with the day of judgment, and with your soul, then you are on the right path. There is no problem with you. You can do whatever you want to do. So if you wanted to have another language, you can do this, another dress, you can have it. But all of your objectives of life should come in this criteria: acceptance of Allah, acceptance of life after death, and acceptance of you having a soul together. I will elaborate a few of more points here. So, Muhammad. I had two options in the early discussion. I had two options, material or spiritual. If I live material life, only matter, then I have certain set of objectives. What will be my objective? I will live 50-60 years here, more or less. I will have to enjoy in this life. And to enjoy this world, I need money. This will be the first priority and the first objective of my life, to earn as much as possible. You say it or you don't say it. You accept it or you don't accept it. This will be the prime objective of life. If you don't believe in Allah, don't believe in your children, don't believe in soul, then this is one of the prime objectives. Earn more and more. Why? Because you have nothing except this world. You are doing this world, 50-60 years. And when you are doing this 50-60 years, you have to enjoy. Now, in practice, there are a lot of words and terminologies which are equal, which are apparently equal in Islam and non-Islam. But fundamentally, they are basically very different. If you say in this world, I have to enjoy, you might say in Islam, you have to enjoy. But this enjoy and that enjoy are substantially different. In this world, you say, I want to be successful. And in Islam, you say, I want to be successful. But concept of success is 180 degrees different in this context and in that context. So, surely you want to enjoy. If you do believe in matter only, and if you do believe that this is the only world which I am passing through, this is the only place which I am living in, then you have to enjoy. But what is the concept of enjoy? In case of materialism, enjoyment will become only by body. Your body pressure, your pleasures which you achieve by your body. In philosophical term, we call it epicurism. Attention of those readers, it is called epicurism. Enjoy more and more of your physical pleasures. What you will sacrifice and what you have to do, I told you. To attain this thing, you have to earn money. This is the only out. So you will earn money. Now again, there is a problem. In this world, all the material resources are limited and our desires are unlimited. So what will be the result? War, clash, and this is what we are watching now. We have a world where we have more than 6 billion people, and if we do justice, we have enough resources for more than 10 billion people. But there is a simple problem: these people who are living on this earth, they don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in life after death. They don't believe in soul. So the only thing which is left here is pleasure. Worldly pleasure. And for worldly pleasure, they have to fight with each other to earn more and more money, which will give them pleasure. And now the result is a society full of injustice. According to the statistics, 20% of this more than 6 billion people, just 20% are enjoying 80% of the world. And 80% of the population is living on 20% of the resources. The result is 1 billion people living here without any food. They are always hungry. This is the reality. Now where did this enemy came from? Don't we have any resources for 10 billion people? They say, yes, we have it. So what's the problem? Because of their desires. And where these desires came from? Because they didn't have Allah. They didn't have their children. They didn't have their spirit. So whatever success was there, was success in earning more and more. And the result is, I told you, a clash of war. Now, this is happening here. And to hide this war, they have certain rules and parameters. deception. Deception. You can't say that we are in a war, we are losing. You can't say this. So just to give people a sort of life that they put in, they will be involved in. There is a pattern to follow. I was standing in a balcony today on Sunday and just looking at people moving around in cars and in buses and in trains. A strange question came to my mind. What is the objective? There were people who were walking on a street. They were somehow, I think, developing it or whether they are being repairing it. I thought, what is the objective of their life? To repair the road. And what is the purpose of road? People will move on it. So, why do they move on it? They will go to offices. They will go to their shops. What they are doing in their shops and offices? They are maintaining something which will be utilized by other people. And because of this, they are getting salary. What other people are doing, again, they are doing the same business. So what is the result? For example, I'm working in a company which are dealing with computers. My purpose of what I'm doing, what I'm achieving, I'm doing work on computers. And what will be the result? You will utilize that computer. Then what you will do? You will work in a railway station. What is the result of railway? People are moving around. Everyone is doing something. What is the achievement? What is the result? It was very strange. And it came to my mind that actually we are not achieving anything. Just we are moving around. People are doing this and that, and at the end, there is nothing happening. So what is our inheritance? 6 billion people moving around. Just because they need salary? Just because they need home? Because they need cars? They need to travel? And there is no result? What is the bottom line? If there is no Allah, there is no life after that, there is no soul, there is nothing. There is no result. And this is one of the many problems here. You don't have objective for your life. So, if you believe in atheism, there is no objective. And if you come to believe in spiritualism, I mean, existence beyond matter, then you have Allah, life after that, there is a spiritual world, you can work on that, you can develop yourself, and this will create more and more objectives of your life. Now, if someone wants to develop himself, and someone wants to change himself, I think first part what we should do, to look what we are achieving, what we are looking beyond our daily activities. I'll tell you something in a minute, and I will end up here. صلى الله محمد وعلى اله وصحبه
said, okay, if you believe in
He thought, if I cut my rope and I fell down, what will happen? I'll drown. He asked Allah to help me without cutting rope. He said, no, you have to cut the rope. Because you just told me that you believe in me. I'll cut the rope. I said, no. I'm not cut the rope. He said, okay. Just be hanging there. Go ahead. He remained there in the story. He died. Next day, the team for rescue came and they saw that he was just 2 feet above the ground. If he had cut the rope, he would have fell down on the ground and there was nothing more. Why he thought I should not cut the rope? Because he never believed in Allah. I think this is our problem. For the last 20 nights, I'm saying, Ilahi wa Rabbi man li ghayruk. O Allah, who is for me except you? But do I really believe that? My essence, all that I told you about philosophy and this and that is one side. Essence of all, just look at your own self. Do you believe in something? If you believe in something, try to get at the deepest of the beliefs. And then set your objectives. If I don't believe in Allah, I'm telling just La ilaha illallah, my objectives will tell me, do I believe in Him or not? And what we are doing here then? Why Ramadan, why Rosa, why fasting, why prayer, why coming to center? I think most of them are because of our practices. We are useful in these things. I'm useful in my gathering. I enjoy my gathering. I come here because of my gathering. I want some activity. And another chapter, actually, I want to keep a belief in my heart that at the time of difficulty, I want to call someone. I have to believe in him or not. I want to have some support for myself. You call it psychological support. But you have to dig in yourself to see and to check how much you believe in him. If you do believe in the sanity, I told you, this is a different room. It's a different world, actually. So, what happened? You open a door and you see a closed, small room. But sometimes, what happened? If you open the door, there is another world. If you really believe in Allah, really believe in Allah, then you have a different world beyond that door. And if you don't believe in Allah, just saying, La ilaha illallah, shallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want you to open the real world behind La ilaha illallah. Believe yourself. Ask yourself. Do you believe in Allah? Do you believe in your children? Now, someone might say that you have not provided any proof on Allah. You have not tried to discuss life after death. Because I think this is the same step. First, ask yourself. Do you believe or do you believe in that? Now, what is the deception? A lot of deceptions. Number one, for example, material achievements. You have a salary, you have your life going on, this is one of the deceptions. You say, everything is okay. Why should I go to the salary? This is a deception. When this deception will end? As soon as you die. A few moments before you end. As I already told you, Ramin Mohni, in a wonderful saying, he said, "Annasu niyamun izanatu tabi." All of them are sleeping. People are sleeping. And they will awake just at their death. As they die, they will awake. And they will see, okay, there was a different world, which we were not looking at. Then we were living in that world. So what is the decision? your life, your normal life, and go to it. I have salary, I have my planning, I have my schedule, and do it accordingly, so everything is okay, and my life is going on. And to fulfill my desires, inner desires, spiritual desires, I have a few replacements. This society is very clever. It has lots of replacements. In case you wanted something, you go to music. In case you wanted something, go to art and culture. In case you wanted to, you want something, go to literature. By this music, art, literature, they want to replace the demand and you see the call from yourself towards Allah. And somehow they are successful. So they have this deception going on, people moving around, they are living their life and they are feeling okay. And if they need something, they will go to music. And if they need more, they will go to literature. And somehow they will deceive themselves that this is not the answer. What is the answer? What the Quran says? The Quran says, Allah bidhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. Be aware. Only remembrance of Allah will calm you. Will give you satisfaction. So, once again, in the summary, just try to find out your true beliefs. You have a limited time to live here. And you have very limited time to think and act. Because you see, I'll give my own example. I know I have very few years to act. Because after a few years, I will not find any energy for a change. I will not find energy for achievements. I follow my own life, which has been set for myself. So, before it was set yourself, follow yourself. And before you could not bring any change, ask yourself, what are your achievements? What are your plans? Go towards the true beliefs which you believe in, and go towards the realities. Don't be satisfied with deception, and inshallah, you will get the essence of your life. Sallallahu Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil fardu.
For this session, I was looking for a few youths, but at the end, we have a lot of people of every age and every group. Now, I don't know how to wind it up. You may have few questions in your mind. I can't conduct open house using question answer session because it will be very lengthy, and we have done that on Sunday. It was around 1.5 hour, 2 hour, so I will not do this. But I will remain here. So after this session, if someone has any question, please come to me and we will have a closer session with your questions, and if I do answer, my answers. Again, thank you very much for coming here, and inshallah, the result should be a process of thinking, process of deliberation for your beliefs, for your practices, and maintain your objectives, what you are looking for in this world. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.